Well, we'll bow together in prayer and just look to the Lord for his blessing and presence this evening as we're gathered here. Our Heavenly Father, we do draw near to thee in the Saviour's name, upon the grounds of redemption. We thank thee, O Lord, for the opportunity that is given to us of approaching thee now and seeking thy face. We bless thee for the shed blood of the Saviour. We thank thee for that work that he did accomplish in Calvary. And this night, Lord, we can declare that there is redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And Lord, we praise thee for what it is to be redeemed and to be able to sing the words of that chorus of a truth, I am redeemed. O Lord, what a blessing, the chiefest of all blessings to have in this life, to know that we are redeemed, that our sins are gone forever, that the price for them has been paid and the account has been settled. And Lord, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And, O Lord, we realize that it's all to do with the person of Jesus Christ. It is his atoning blood. It is his work of redemption. And, Lord, we desire this evening as we're gathered here to magnify the name of thy dear Son, to have him exalted among us, both in the praise and in the preaching. And we pray, therefore, that thou wilt draw near and give to us help to that end, we pray, that we might ever make much of Jesus Christ, that we might lift up the Son of God, the one who became man, that he might be the Redeemer of sinners. And we pray, Lord, that others will come to know of this redemption, that they might taste and see that thou art good, that they might come to the joy of sins forgiven and know that it is well with their souls. Lord, that is our earnest prayer, that that would come to pass. And we pray that any who are under the sound of our voices this evening, and they know not Christ as Saviour, Lord, it is our prayer that thou would speak to them. Oh, be gracious, be merciful. We pray that thou will come to them where they are, and may there be a word spoken that will lodge in their heart, will be like a seed, but will take root there and bring forth the fruit of repentance. Oh, Lord, be gracious, we pray, and bless us as we come together. We thank thee for the opportunity to do so and the liberty and the freedom that is ours this evening to gather in this fashion. And we pray that thou wilt bless us. Just give us a little time of favorable weather so that we can have the service. And we pray that in all things thy name will be honored and glorified. Lord, it is our prayer that Christ would be exalted, that he would have all the preeminence. He alone is worthy. We think of those words of John the Baptist when John said that Christ was to increase and that he, John, was to decrease. And Lord, that is our acknowledgement and desire, even this evening, that Christ would increase and that we would decrease. We are not here, Lord, to preach ourselves, neither a denomination nor a creed in that sense. But Lord, we're here to preach Christ and him crucified. And we pray, our Father, that thou will be pleased to bless thy word, therefore, as it does go forth this evening. And use it, we ask, Lord, to the extension of thy kingdom, and for the glory of Jesus Christ. So be abide with us now as we come to thy word, and as we read it and meditate upon it, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read some verses this evening from the Gospel of Mark, and chapter 8. And we're going to read just from verse 34. Of this chapter, it says, And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. It's verse 37 of that portion that I want to draw your attention to for a little while. The words of the Lord Jesus, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The picture before us is that of the marketplace, where the trader and the buyer are bartering over the goods that are on sale. And in order to exchange the ownership, the seller and the buyer must be content with the price that one is going to sell and the other is going to pay for the goods that are being bartered over. And that's the picture that the Lord Jesus here employs. There would have been many a marketplace around the land of Israel, even as there is today in countries like that. There would be markets in virtually every village, certainly in the towns and cities. It would be a common sight. And the pictures that the Lord Jesus employed to illustrate spiritual truth were common pictures. They were pictures that everyone could relate to and knew instantly. They didn't have to go and try to find out, well, what is the Savior speaking about, first of all, even in the picture that he's using, never mind the spiritual truth that he's seeking to apply. These pictures would have been readily understood. So there you have the picture of the buyer and the seller bartering over goods in the marketplace. One wanting to buy, the other wanting to sell, and finally coming to a price that they would agree. One would be happy to sell and the other would be happy to buy. And the Lord Jesus takes that picture and he's not applying it to material things. He's applying it to spiritual things. He's applying it to our soul. And he asks in this verse of Scripture, well, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will he barter his soul for? What will he sell his soul for? That's the picture that is here in view. There's this idea of the exchange that is taking place, where one's going to sell and the other's going to buy, and something's going to be traded. And the Lord Jesus is asking those individuals. It's interesting that it tells us there in that portion that he called the people unto him with the disciples. So he's speaking to them all and he's saying to them all that they're there, well, what is the price of your soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? And immediately here we're brought to think about the reality of our soul. Men and women, every one of us have a soul. The Lord breathed into man at the beginning, that tells us, and he became a living soul. So there is that soul that we all have. And it is only those who willfully and blindly deny it that will have no regard for their soul and no thought about their soul. But there is a soul, and we do need well to remember that this evening. We have a soul. We have got a body, but we have also got a soul. And it is of great value. There's evidence for the soul when you think about the existence of it, the reality of the soul. There's evidence for it that we do indeed have a soul. You think of that sense of right and wrong that there is in us all. Every individual has some sense. It may vary from one to another, but at some stage it kicks in and it is there in our lives and we're conscious of it. There is a sense of right and wrong that we all have. There's a sense of injustice at times. Where does that come from? It's the fact that we've got a moral, spiritual character as well. And there are times when there's injustices that we might rail against and rise up against because they're just that. It's unjust for that to take place. There's a desire to protect the weak and the vulnerable. Again, that's not something that's found in the animal kingdom in the world. It's a survival of the fittest. But there is that sense among us, those who have a moral soul, those who have a rational part to their being, There is that desire to protect the weak and to protect the vulnerable. All of that is testifying to the fact that we're more than just a body. But there is a moral, spiritual dimension to us. And then as well, there's that sense of the existence of God in us all. The atheist denies that. He has to shut it down, but it's there. It's interesting to hear some of those atheists when they speak and they say, oh, I became an atheist. That indicates that there was a time when they were not an atheist. That there was a time when they did indeed realize that there was a God. But the atheist denies it. He shuts it down. He tries to close out this idea that there's a soul. That there is a God in heaven who has imparted that soul unto us and who will one day take it unto himself and call us to account. There is a denying of that. But my friend, the soul is a reality. And the Lord Jesus here is speaking about the soul, and he's asking this question, well, what will we give in exchange for the soul? And the first point I want you to consider here is the value of the soul. What value do we place upon the soul? Because it's worth considering. Do we look upon it as the most valuable thing that we possess? Nothing more precious, nothing more important than our soul. And whatever else we might have in life, there is nothing that ranks alongside that of our soul. It is the most precious possession that we have. It is something that is to be treasured. And I wonder this evening, do we treasure the soul? What value? When you think about that picture that is there in the Word of God that we're thinking about this evening, about the trader and the buyer, and there they are in the marketplace. What value will they place upon the goods that they're either wanting to sell or wanting to buy? They're going to place some value upon it. They're going to put some importance on it. The person who is selling is going to have a value. The person who is buying is going to have a value. And they're going to come to some arrangement so that one can sell and the other can buy. But there's a value that is going to be established. And I wonder this evening as we think to the matter of our soul, what value do we put upon our soul? Because if we put some value on it, if we put a great value on it, then will we not think about the welfare of the soul and the well-being of the soul? Will we not have some concern and some regard about where it will spend eternity? What about the eternal destiny of the soul? If there's a value on the soul, if we realize that we have a soul this evening and we understand it's of some value, then surely we have to think about its welfare. People think about the welfare of the body. Want to be in good health. Why not? And there are those facilities that we have that we can resort to when we are unwell, whether it's the doctor or the hospital or whatever that we can go to when the body feels sick. We take care of the body because we put some value upon it. We're interested in its welfare and its well-being because we put some value upon the body. We realize it's important. If we're going to live in this world and continue in this world, then we have to give some regard to the welfare of the body. But what about the welfare of the soul? What thought do we give to that? What thought do we give to the welfare of the soul? Do we think about the value of it? Do we think about the well-being of the soul? Surely the Lord Jesus is seeking to establish that here with regards to those individuals that he is speaking to at this particular time. You see, the Word of God tells us that the soul is in danger of perishing and that it needs to be saved. That's the warning that he's giving. That's why he's speaking here in the fashion that he is. That's why he's calling their attention and saying, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Because the soul is in danger of perishing. This most important possession that we have, this most valuable treasure that belongs to us, is in danger of perishing and it needs to be saved. And I wonder this evening, do we value our soul sufficiently to take heed to the warning of Scripture? And when the one who gave us the soul in the first place and imparted it to us And we became a living soul. The one who gave the soul is the one who gives warning about the soul. And I wonder, will we take heed to that warning? Will we consider this evening that we need to give heed to this matter and think about the saving of our soul? Oh, how much value do we place upon the soul? But then I want you to consider, secondly, what will we give in exchange for the soul? Determined by how much value we place upon it, some people then begin to barter with their soul. And this brings us more directly to this question that the Lord Jesus here is uttering. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Because that depends, you see, on how much value you put upon it. If somebody puts a little value, if somebody puts no value at all upon their soul, they're going to barter their soul. They're going to exchange their soul for something. They're going to have no regard and no interest in its welfare and its well-being. They're going to be more interested in pursuing other things. And there are many things that men and women do indeed sadly barter their souls for. If you think again of that marketplace and the haggling that there would be and the bartering there would be between the seller and the buyer in order to get to a price that both are happy with. One's happy to sell, the other's happy to buy. The Lord Jesus is here suggesting that there's people who barter in a similar way with their soul. They'll give their soul away. They don't think about the importance of the soul. They don't think about its welfare. They don't think about its need to be saved. They don't forsake everything in order to pursue the saving of the soul. They put a very little value upon the soul. They barter away their soul. I wonder tonight, is there someone just under the sound of our voices now, and that's just how it is with you? You barter your soul. What do you barter it for? Well, let me make some suggestions out of the Word of God that you can barter your soul for. What about the pursuit of pleasure? We live in a pleasure-seeking age. We live in a pleasure-seeking age. The Bible speaks of a day that will come, and it is here, when there'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And surely such a day is upon us, when people love pleasure more than love God. They'd even sacrifice their soul for the pursuit of pleasure. How many even today, this day, this Lord's Day, that ought to be given to the worship of God, a day set apart, six other days to do all that we want to do by way of employment and recreation. One day set apart for the Lord, and yet how many today have taken this day to pursue their own pleasures? They're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And for pleasure, they'll barter their soul. To pursue a life of pleasure, some particular pleasure that they delight in and that they enjoy, and they're going to give time to it, maybe even resources to it as well, and energy to it, and for those pleasures, they'll barter their soul. There's multitudes this very evening, and they're bartering their soul for pleasure. They'll give up their soul for some pleasure. And if it came to a choice of which do they want, they'll have their pleasure rather than have any regard for their soul. What about pastimes and the pursuit of other things? They take up time. They take over a person's life. And they make a god out of those things. Maybe even legitimate things in and of their own right. But they so consume their lives and take over their lives that there's no regard for their soul. There's no thought of their eternal well-being. There's no regard given to spiritual things at all. And then there's many a sinful pastime that people pursue. And again, they'll barter their soul for some particular pastime. They must have their pastime. They must have their desires satisfied. And they'll do it at the expense of thinking about their soul. Oh, how tragic it is when someone lives like that. There's a pursuit of possessions. People make a god out of the things of this world, the material things of this world. They make that their god, and they live for those things. Their delight is found in those things, and they pursue after them every waking hour. Every spare moment that they have, this is what they're engaged in and pursuing. And again, their soul is sacrificed. They've bartered away their soul for some particular possession. Even other people. Somebody can barter their soul for another person. They're more interested in the well done of another individual. More interested in the fame of the world, the friendship of the world. And yet the Bible tells us that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And there are those who pursue these things, and they put other people before their own soul. And they'd rather be with the crowd than they would thinking about their soul. Remember the crowd that cried to Pilate and persuaded him to give Jesus Christ up to be crucified? Pilate was persuaded by the crowd. Away with him! Away with him! Was their cry. We will not have this man to reign over us. And Pilate listened. He listened to the crowd. Even though he knew Christ was innocent, even though in his innermost being he knew that when he gave him up to be crucified, he was doing the wrong thing. Yet he was influenced by the crowd and he bartered his soul. That day in that judgment hall when he took the basin of water and he washed his hands, he bartered away his soul. And I wonder this evening, what are you bartering your soul for? What will you give in exchange for your soul? What are you happy to pursue? Because there's one thing that is worth emphasizing before we move on to one final point, and it is this, that all of these things that people will give in exchange for their soul, they will all come to an end. All the pleasures, all the pastimes, all the possessions, all the putting of others and their praise before the welfare of your own soul will all come to an end. These things are not going to last forever. This world is not going to last forever, but our soul is. Well, that's why the Lord Jesus here is drawing our attention to this matter and asking it in this way, this question, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Seeing that your soul is of eternal value, seeing that your soul will never cease, what will you give? My friend, there's nothing that is of equal worth and value to your soul. For the simple reason the soul is eternal. And all of these other things that people pursue and that people follow after and that they will exchange for their soul, all of those things are of lesser value. When they give their soul and sacrifice their soul for some pleasure or some pastime or some possession, they're giving away their soul for something that is cheap. Because it's not going to last forever. That's how tragic it is. And it is certainly our desire this evening that the Lord's word would enter into some heart and awaken you, make you to realize the value of your soul and the importance of seeking after its salvation. Oh, do not barter it away. Do not exchange it for something of little worth. Do not exchange it. You'll leave it all behind. Even the millionaire, when he comes to die, he's going to leave it all behind. Wasn't there the story told about two individuals who had attended the funeral of a multimillionaire, and one individual asked the other, "I wonder how much he left." And the other man said he left everything. My friend, you leave everything, whatever it is. Whatever it is, we leave it behind in this world. We cannot take it with us into the world that is to come. These things are not of eternal worth and value, but our soul is. And therefore, do not exchange your soul for something that is of so little value, and you lose your soul. I want to finish off this evening by considering one final point. I want you to consider the value the Lord puts upon your soul. The value that the Lord puts upon your soul. Because we can draw that out of Scripture. When we come to think about the life of the Lord Jesus, we can particularly think about His life and nothing else, and we will soon see the value that the Lord puts upon a soul. The Lord puts so much value upon a soul that He purposed to save souls. He purposed to save souls. And He purposed to save because He was pleased to do so. But in being pleased to do so, there is surely an emphasis upon the value of the soul, the importance of the soul. These were eternal creatures. Their souls will live forever, that the Lord purposed to save. And when we think of the whole plan of salvation and redemption, as it is revealed in the Scriptures, as it is revealed in the person and life of Jesus Christ, does it not underscore for us the value of the soul? That God would purpose to save lost souls? That He would purpose to save them? That there would be a plan of redemption that is revealed unto man? That the Lord would give His word and preserve His word, that we might have it even now after so many generations, that we can still have confidence in the word of God, and that this great story of redemption and of the plan of salvation is handed down and is to be proclaimed, and that the Lord would send forth messengers across the face of the earth to proclaim this wonderful message of salvation. Does all of that not emphasize to us this evening the value of your soul? So when you think about His purpose to save, when you think about the fact that He gave heaven's best to be the Savior, in order to save, Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and heaven gave its very best, its very best. The Lord didn't send an angel. He didn't even send an archangel. He didn't send the prince of the angels. Rather, He sent His own dear Son into the world. He was willing to give His Son. He was willing to give Him up to come into this world and to go to the cross and outwork this great plan of redemption. Why? Because of the value of your soul. Because of the great value, the eternal value of the soul of an individual, Jesus Christ came, the Son of God came into this world. And what a glorious truth that is, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son. And when we just stop and think about that for a moment, what was entailed in that gift? That He gave His Son, His only Son, the darling of His bosom. There was none other to give. He only had one Son, and He gave Him to be a Savior. All because of the worth and value of the soul. But not only that, when you consider what He did to His Son. His Son had to go to Calvary. Never mind the rejection that He suffered while He was here on earth. Never mind the condescension that He had to undergo in order to come into this world in the first place and live among men and live under the law. But when you think about Him going to the cross, when you think about Him becoming the sin bearer, my friend, do we not see there something of the value of a soul? When we look on at the cross and observe what Jesus Christ had to suffer in order to save sinners, when we read something of the agonies of the cross as He was crucified, not only the physical pain, but the spiritual punishment that came upon Him for sin, does that not tell us something of the value of your soul? That God would send His Son to the cross, and that He would die there in shame and ignominy in order to save the soul. Does this not all emphasize the value of the soul tonight? And when we ask that question, when the Bible asks that question and we seek to answer it, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? May it be the answer that it is of infinite value. When you think of all of that, when all that Jesus Christ did, you see something of the value of the soul. My friend, I trust that you will value your soul sufficiently this evening to seek Christ for salvation, and that you'll come to know him. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? May you count it of infinite value and trust Christ for salvation. May the Lord bless his word this evening. We'll bow together in prayer. And our Father, we pray that thou will bless thy word and use it, we pray, even to some individual this evening that's under the sound of our voices. Oh Lord, it is our prayer that people would realize the value of their soul and do not barter it away for something trivial, something that will pass away. And we pray that they will realize and come to know Christ as Savior. And they will see something of the value of the soul in looking at the person of Jesus Christ. So bless thy word, we ask of thee now. As we come to a close, bless us as we sing this last hymn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.